Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to The Balanced Perspective. I'm here with my guest, Angela Harris, who is the founder of Work of Heart, a business and movement created to empower and inspire people to be their best, to do their best, and to live their best life. Angela helps heart-centered people and businesses grow through events, consulting, and coaching. Welcome, girl.
Thank you. And maybe like not the events part right now, not in person events. We'll go.
Like right now we're considering what events look like in the future, but you kind of are the queen of some pretty awesome events here locally.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll take that title. I like it.
I'll give you the title. Well, I mean, Queen of Hearts, it works together. So for those of you who don't know Angela, Angela has an event here in New Brunswick, where I am from. And her event, Work of Heart, is actually an event that inspired me to do events, which is the Balance Retreat on a regular basis. And Angela actually mentored me a couple years ago to help sort of point me in the right direction in creating my own event. So excited to have you on and talk all things heart, all things leadership. But before we go into that, because that's where we're going to land, I know.
Yes.
I'd like to know the you before Work of Heart. Like, share a little bit about you and your journey.
Yes. So, yeah. And I mean, it's definitely an important part of the story and how, you know, I came to start Work of Heart and how I came to be doing many of the things that I'm doing right now. But yeah, I've had, you know, I used to think I just had like this average story, normal compared to other people. I'm like, yeah, you know, I did some things. I saw some things, I achieved some things, but to me, they were just like, they're just part of my story. But as it turns out, some of them are like movie worthy. So like watch for that coming in a few years. I'm just waiting for Hollywood to come.
Yeah. You're just getting picked up by a producer. We can make that happen though.
Yeah.
Between the two of us, I mean, our famous abilities, we could totally find a producer right now, Mr. or Mrs. Producer. If you are listening, Angela Harris has a movie for you that will be a blockbuster. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that blockbuster.
Yeah. So about the blockbuster, I think early on, I just realized, like, you know, I would have an idea and I would have, you know, something that I wanted to do and I would go do it. Like, and it's not quite as simple as that, but, you know, I'd get something in my mind and I'd kind of figure out a series of steps to take to keep like working towards that idea. And now that I'm like where I am now, I'm looking back and I'm like, well, I had vision, right? And I had a dream or I had a goal. And I was just like, every day I would wake up and I'd be like, okay, what do I need to do to work towards that goal? But it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't like I had this very intentional system that I even recognized that I used, right? But kind of going back to it, you know, when I started off, I had decided that I wanted to go out to UBC. That kind of is where the start of the story. And I realized I could play rugby out there. You know, sports is a huge part of my life and, you know, has shaped me into like who I am and, you know, my kind of fierce, sometimes like run through the wall attitude. Sometimes I run into the wall and bounce, but hey, details. But yeah, so I started out there, fell into athletic therapy. Initially I had, you know, I was supposed to do sports psychology. And so started doing athletic therapy and, you know, with most things, and I've kind of like, you know, I've learned over the years, but for me at the time, I was like, okay, what is the best job that you could possibly have with athletic therapy? What is the biggest thing you can do? What is the best thing, right? And so that was to work as an athletic therapist in professional sports. And so that's what I set out to do. And that's what I did. And so that, like I said, that's just kind of one of the things where for me, like, yes, it was hard work and it was a lot of like, you know, being creative. And I mean, this was before, I mean, we had internet, but not really. Like, to send an email was like, you know, it was a big deal. This was 20 some years ago. Right. And so I was like literally typing up letters and sending them to all the CFL teams. I was like cold calls to these like head athletic therapists to try and get an internship. And like, you know, but I was like, okay, so that didn't work. So what can I do next? Okay, I'll try this thing. Right. And so, yeah, I look back and I'm like, who did she think she was? Like, what? You know, but like I said, I was just like, okay, I'm just focused. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. So I'm going to do it. So yeah.
You attribute a lot of that drive from your experience in team sports?
Yes and no. Like I grew up in a sports family and we always had sports on television. I went through a time in high school where I didn't play team sports. And I mean, and I guess that would be, you know, kind of my Michael Jordan story, if you will. I don't think I'm Michael Jordan, just for the record. Pause on that one.
I love how this is going. We've started off with, we're going to be a blockbuster movie. I'm also Michael Jordan. Wow. You are feeling that today.
No ego here at all. But no, I got cut from basketball in high school. Yeah. And I was like, and it was so, you know, it was one of those defining moments in my life where, you know, you just like, I was a good athlete. I still was a good athlete, but I obviously wasn't good enough to make that top 12 or whatever it was. And so I kind of let sports go for a little while. I was like, okay, it was, you know, because I had grown up playing basketball. I had moved from BC to New Brunswick when I was in grade 10, and that's when I got cut. And I mean, I didn't know anybody here, and it was a new school, and like all the things, like all the emotions. But you know what? I'm not the best basketball player. So it is what it is. And I've seen that with my own kids now in sports. I'm like, you know, it crushes you as a parent to see them, you know, not succeed or to not, you know, make a team or whatever it is. But you know what? It teaches you, right? It teaches you what's important and how to pick yourself back up and how to redirect. And anyways, all of that to say, I didn't really start playing like competitive sports again until I was in my first year of university and started playing rugby. And that's when I started playing rugby when I was, so how old would I have been? I think I was 18, 19. And then it was just like all consuming. Like it was like I'd found the golden key that I'd always been looking for. Like rugby was just like, it literally changed my life without question.
So how was your experiences in team sports, in rugby, and all the sports that you did previously, and obviously then being, you know, a therapist and working with teams and with athletes, how has that molded and shaped you for what you're doing today, which is working with entrepreneurs and organizations, you know, around the globe?
I think what it taught me, and again, some of these things, like, you don't realize that they shaped you or that, you know, what you learned from them until you kind of like later in life. Right. But I remember along the way, you know, it was always important to me to be a teammate and a leader on the field and off the field. Right. And it was always important to me to like be there for people again, like on the field, off the field, or like to help people. That's like, you know, I spent so many years trying to figure out what my purpose and my why was. And it was that simple. It was like, I just want to help people. That's why I was a therapist. That's why, you know, I played sports. That's why I coached. And so it wasn't until this, I'm going to say it was probably 8 or 9 years ago, when people started calling me their mentor. And I was like, what? I'm like, no, like that's for, you know, that's for other people, right? Like that's for, I'm like, I'm too young for that. Or I'm too, like, I'm just your friend. I'm just helping you. Right. And so I initially was super uncomfortable with that term. I was like, no. I'm just like, I'm your coach. I'm your friend. I'm your this, but I'm like mentor. Like that's like, it almost felt too important or something. But then I realized how important it was for people to be able to call me their mentor and to be able to, for me to accept that role. And then I became quite proud of it. I was like, yeah, I want, you know, some of the best days of my life have been helping people, you know, either with an injury, like when I was a therapist, or, you know, solving a problem or achieving a goal, or just like, sometimes it's just listening, right? And I know that all of that comes back to, for me, it comes back to like sports and leadership. And like, you know, in teams, it's like having that trust and respect for another person. So that's what it's all about.
So I know that you created the Work of Heart a few years ago. Where was that birth from? Like, what problem were you trying to solve in developing the Work of Heart event?
So initially, I would say the problems that I was trying to solve leading up to it, you know, I felt incredibly stuck in my career. I felt really unhappy in my life. And I felt guilt all around that because I'm like, well, I have an amazing career. I have an amazing family. Like, I have many of the things that I always wanted to have. And so it was kind of like, what's your problem, right? Like, you should be happy right now, and, or you should be this or that. And I wasn't, and I couldn't seem to like put my finger on why. We had like me specifically, and then also my family, just with like, you know, all the kids' germs and whatever, we were sick all the time. Like, you know, it was like one thing after another. And then I had a health scare back in 2015, which just like, that was the thing that just put me right over the edge, where I started to realize, I'm like, okay, there is more to life than just like, you know, running on this hamster wheel, feeling unhappy, feeling miserable, and not actually being able to figure out how to help myself. So I went on this journey of like all the things. I'm like, health, nutrition, mindset, meditation, yoga, like, give me all the things. I'm like, you know, help me here. Sleep, like depression, you know, all the things. And I was just like kind of chipping away. And along the way, I was like, you know, this would be great if somebody in Moncton did an event and had this, right? And it'd be great if like, oh, and they could talk about sleep and they could talk about stress. And I'd be like, you know, this is all pretty common sense. Like, it's common sense. We all know that we need to sleep better. We need to like drink more water. We need to exercise. Like, these are common sense things. But when you're in a very stressful place in your life, or you have a lot of stuff going on around you, you can't see the common sense solutions right in front of you, right? And so I had finally gotten to a place of like, you know, let's say 3 years go by and I'm kind of feeling like I'm in a better place, like emotionally, and I've like changed careers. And I had done a lot of events for work, like corporate events over the years. And I had just done one that morning and I was sitting at an event like in that evening, and it was like a light bulb went off. And I was like, wait a second, you know all these things, you know how to do events, why don't you do it? And I was like, yeah, why don't I do it? I was like, and I really had no good reason not to. So there you go.
So you did it.
I did it.
Well, and it was amazing. Yeah.
Yes. It like, it far surpassed my expectations. All of this has far surpassed my expectations of what it could or should be to help people.
So if you were to give advice to somebody who was listening right now, who has that idea, you know, that dream to do an event or a podcast or whatever it is, but they're sitting with the idea and they're not doing, what advice would you give them?
So if we weren't on, if I wasn't trying to hold my laptop and I didn't want to like make a huge noise in your ear right now, I would start clapping really hard and get in your face and be like, just do it. Like, just take action. Like, stop thinking about it and just do it. Like, so many times the thing that is stopping us is ourselves. It's not, you know, it's not this like, you know, it's not a real obstacle. It's like, well, how would this work? Well, how would that work? Well, how would this? And, you know, it's fear and it's like, you know, it's questioning, right? But I mean, there's things that you can do just to take tiny steps. Like a lot of times, like my ideas come and I'm like, oh, I'm going to Google this, right? Or I'm going to write that down, or I'm going to ask, you know, a friend if she knows how to do that, or, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be this giant, like, quit your job, move to Bali. It doesn't need to be that kind of, that sounds awesome right now.
Actually, I was just like, as you were saying that, I was like, what? It can't be that?
I don't have an actual job,
but I mean, I work for myself, but can I just take myself to Bali?
You can do that. You can do that. Maybe not right now. I don't know if you can do that right now. Not right now, today.
But I think you hit the nail on the head right there, right? Like, I think at the end of the day, it's really just about taking action. But the more important point is there's information out there that makes it, you know, more simple for you to consume, right? I think back to when I was thinking about doing the balance retreat, and I had done events like 10, 12 years previous, but the world had changed. I had changed. And I really just didn't have all of the information in front of me. But then I saw this wonderful woman, Angela Harris, who was doing this work of art. Yeah. And, you know, at that point, I didn't even know you. I just knew of you through Facebook. And the beauty of entrepreneurs, and, you know, there's this selflessness. Yes, there's a couple jerks out there that'll say no, but most people will spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes with you, you know, over coffee, buy them dinner.
Yeah.
And they'll share their best tips, their tricks. And that's exactly what you did. I think we met at Starbucks in Moncton. And you're like, do this, don't do this, don't overthink it. Here's this, here's that. And you, and then, and I think it was like the next day, you're like, hey, this sounds like a really cool event. I'd like to speak at this.
Great. I'm like, wait a second. That sounds like something I want to be part of. So
and you kicked ass. Aww, so I think, you know, I think that's the most important thing that I'm getting from you and from so many other individuals. It's just to act. It's just to do. And, you know, go ask for support from other people who've been there and done it before, because it doesn't complicate it, right?
No, that's the thing. And you know what? Like, to your point, there's so many people out there willing to help you and willing to give you advice and willing to be like, hey, don't use that platform, use this platform. Or, oh, hey, I need, like, don't do this, like, hire that person. Or, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not, like, that's what we love to do. Like, and anyone with, like, a growth mindset and a, like, you know, focused on community, right, over competition. It's like, when we all succeed, we all succeed. Like, 100%. it's not me or her. It's like, if I help you and you, like, succeed, it's like, it's, and it's karma too, right? Like,
it is. Like, well, and I think the other thing is like, even if you and I do the exact same thing, there are people who will resonate with you because of how you show up in a room. Exactly. And there are people who will resonate with me, and then vice versa. So competition is like a blessing in disguise, because it allows you to be more true to who you are versus trying to be like everybody else.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, and that's the reality. Like, there is enough for all of us. Like, and I think we can, you know, we can all learn from that for sure. So
100%. So, you know, obviously you work with entrepreneurs, you work with organizations, you know, there's a topic that doesn't get talked about a lot, but I know that on your Work of Heart community and on your page and a lot of your videos, you touch on mental health. And so I guess the question I have for you is, why do you feel that so many entrepreneurs and leaders struggle with mental health in silence?
You know, I think I can't speak for all of them. I can't and I won't speak for everyone, but I know for me, and a lot of the time for me even now, it's pride, right? Like, it's, you know, do you want to show up? And especially in what I do, I'm like, I'm, you know, I try to be that, like, motivator and that, like, beacon of positive energy. And, like, I'm like a mindset expert. So then I'm like, well, how can I call myself all of those things if I don't have all my shit figured out, right? And if I'm like, you know, I'm having a dark day and I can't get it together, I'm like, am I gonna, you know, if I show up and say this, I'm gonna be a hypocrite, number one. And then number two, and I think it, and maybe this is like that athlete mindset, or maybe, I don't know, masculine energy, whatever it is. It's like, you don't want to appear weak, right? And there's still so much stigma around all of this. Like it's painful and frustrating to me. And it's not painful and frustrating to me because of other people. It's because I deal with it and I'm like, and you know that this is normal, Ange. Like, you know that you're not crazy and you know that you're not weak. And yet, like when you're in the throes of it and you're, you know, under stress and like things are happening, or, you know, I have anxiety and depression that I deal with like every single day. And, you know, some days are easier, some days are harder. And like I said, even like on a bad day, I'm like going through things and I'm like, well, you're weak. Well, you should be able to figure this out. Oh, well, what kind of, you know, it's that inner critic, right? But I don't know. I think it's like, you know, like I said, I think a lot of it boils down to pride. But then the other part of it, you know, and I talk about this a lot, it's like, there are times I don't even know how to ask for help, Tarian. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know how to ask for help on a good day. Like, let's be real, right? Like if I'm working on something, I'm like, well, so-and-so is busy, so I don't want to bother them, right? And so for me, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff over the years, like on, you know, mental health awareness campaigns and things like that. And it's like, if you're struggling, ask for help. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. It's not that easy, you know? And I think that if you have like a supportive framework of people around you and you have people you trust, you can ask for help without asking for help, if you know what I mean. Like you just like, you're asking, you know, you're having a conversation or you're sharing or whatever. But I really don't think it's quite as simple as like, you know, asking, you know, reaching out and being like, hey, I'm having a dark day, or I'm like in a depression, I can't get out. Like, you know, and maybe it's different for every person. Like I said, I can't speak for others, but I know that, you know, as an entrepreneur, it can be draining. It can be like, you know, unbelievably stressful depending on what's going on. And, you know, not knowing, the pandemic has been like,
yeah,
you know,
it's scary to me because I don't know, a little over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I took my mental health first aid through the Health Canada, Commission of Canada. And that course in and of itself completely shifted my worldview, my perspective, and how I looked at mental health. I didn't realize how much judgment even I still had. Right. And they spoke of things of, you know, someone canceling an appointment or not showing up for work or canceling a coffee date over and over again. And our natural inclination is to get upset with them and frustrated. The reality is so many of the people that we know and love and spend our time with are struggling with maybe small case of anxiety or depression or much, much, much worse mental illnesses. And we're not prepared as a society. I feel as important as first aid is, you know, knowing how to give CPR to someone, mental health first aid should be something that everyone has to take, because at least it would give you a benchmark. We would all be balanced in what we know and what we understand about mental health, especially now with, I think it's 80% of Canadians will have at some point in their life deal with mental illness.
Right. Well, and to your point, I think especially for the strong ones, okay, I'm putting that in quotation marks, especially for, you know, those of us who typically help others through hard things and have a hard time asking for help, I think if more people could recognize the signs and symptoms of someone who's struggling and isn't able to ask for help, and have a conversation, right? And it's like, okay, you know, are they canceling things? Are they saying that they're really tired? Are they like, are they saying that they're sick or they have a migraine or this? And legit, maybe they do have those things, but like instead of just like accepting it right off the hop, maybe it's like asking a few more questions, like, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? And like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's 100%. Just more of us being like aware.
It is. Well, I think it's when you get to know people, especially it's the things that are out of character for them that right. potentially they're doing. And they're sometimes very small actions or,
yes.
you know, mood differences, but they yep. tell you, they give you some signs, some insight into potentially what that individual yeah. is dealing with. And exactly. Yeah, a lot of the information I've been reading lately, and of course I focus a lot on leadership and entrepreneurship like yourself, mm-hmm. is sort of this silent topic is mental yeah. illness and entrepreneurship, and how many right. people yeah. who own businesses are struggling mm-hmm. to your point, because there is still a stigma out there. Yes. And, you know, you are a leader, you are somebody who people look up to, and, you know, yeah. it's so difficult to say, hey, I am. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I really love and enjoy about you. Cause when you're having a rough day, I know you're speaking to your community, but I'm a part of that yeah. community. And yeah. I think your rawness and your authenticity mm-hmm. gives me permission to yeah. say today's a bad day too. Right?
Right. I know. And it's still, listen, I don't think that I'm like on this, like, it's not easy for me to do that. There are days where I'm like, oh, like it just happened on Mother's Day. Right. I'm like, this is supposed to be a special day for people. Like, this is supposed to be, you know, on social media, it's all like glowing and roses and, you know, breakfast in bed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am having a horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day. Right. And I'm like, so should I show up and share that? Because if I do that, am I like, am I going to bring, I never want to bring anybody else down with me. That's the thing. Right. But when I shared that in my Facebook group the other day that I was having that kind of day, I had probably 6 people comment and send me messages and be like, thank you for that. Like, you know, because it's not all roses every day for anyone. Right. But yeah, I think that's part of it, is just like showing up and keeping it real and doing yeah. our best.
Well, I think there's beauty in sharing your story, right?
Yeah.
And I think sharing your story, A, allows you to get it out, which is
yes.
you know, good for you. But
yeah.
because you let it out and you get it out of your system and you share it with people, you're giving yeah. those people permission to feel, right?
Yes.
As Cindy yeah. O'Donnell always says, she goes, feel all the feels, right?
Feel all the feels.
Feel exactly. all the feels. And I love that exactly. because so many of us hold those feelings in.
Yes.
So do you have some go-to strategies that sort of help you get out of, you know, those dark days or a funk that you feel could be useful for others?
So crying works.
The good old
ugly cry. I'm joking. The good old ugly cry. But no, like joking aside, I spent so many years not crying or not leaning into the feelings of things because, you know, I grew up in my dad was military. It's like, we don't cry. Like you don't, you know, and I think I had this perception of like what a strong person was like. And so I'm like, there's no crying. Right. And then, you know, I remember back, it was in my 20s though. So I've been crying for a long time. It's okay. Not all the time. Don't worry. But my point in saying that, I mean, you don't have to cry if that's not for you. But for me, when I cry and just like let it out, that's the strategy, right? It's like, let it out, you know, lean in, accept the feeling. I like, you know, put, for me, I like to put a label on it. I'm like, okay, this is me. This is fear. This is like, this is anger. This is frustration. This is this. And then try and like work through it from there, right? It's like identify the feeling and then it's, okay, what, you know, why did this come up? I can't always figure out why it came up, but you know, that's kind of how I try and work through it. You know, people, for me, I post a lot of positive content because for me that works. So like, I love to consume, you know, content that is like positive, that has like, you know, meaning, that, you know, that I can learn from it. And then I'm like, I don't know, it kind of like triggers something for me in my heart that I'm like, okay, all right, I see what's going on with you here. I do a lot of self-talk, can you tell? I see what's going on here. Yeah. If I start talking in like a different way, no, I'm just joking. Anyway, but yeah, so it's like, it's self-talk. I use a lot of like, you know, reframing. So I'll be like, you know, I might, you know, inside it, and I talk about it, like it's the inner critic, right? It's like, well, you're not good at that thing. It's like, you know what? Actually, I am good at that thing. So it's like, you know, reframing. I was talking earlier, like, you know, when you asked me, like, what would I tell somebody? And I, like, clapping for me is like, it's a way to like reframe, like reset, be like, okay, enough of your bullshit, Ange, like stop it. Right. And I, that was actually a quiet one. I have like coaching clap, but,
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, be a rugby coach. Yeah. Yes. You're going to be a clapper right up
there. Loud.
I've seen the photos of you. You look extremely aggressive on the field.
Yes. Like I scare myself.
It's intimidating. So, and I was, you know, like I was a scrapper when I was younger, but you intimidate me, and that doesn't happen too often. There so good on you, girl. Good on you.
Not a scrapper, but you know, I have that like fierce, I don't know what, but yeah. So I think it's like, you know, I talk about it too. Like, I think all of us just need to have a toolbox that we go to, right? And especially when you're dealing with mental health, you have to have a toolbox of things that you go to, because what works for you one day isn't necessarily going to work another day. What works for you at 8 a.m. might not work at noon, you know, literally, right? Like, it's such an emotional roller coaster. And I think especially right now with the pandemic and like all of our crazy weather, like all of these things are triggers for me, right? And so you have to have a toolbox of things that you go to and just keep trying. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend earlier, and we're talking about counseling. And, mm-hmm. you know, counseling is sort of like, you know, finding a counselor is sort of like finding someone to date, right? Like the first person you go and see in counseling, if it doesn't work, you might have to see a few until you find that right match, right? And I think the same goes with, you know, mental health things that you use that are in your toolbox. What works for you may not work for me, but I think you have to stay forever curious in understanding who you are, what makes you tick, what are your triggers, and then always evolving, you know, what is in that toolbox. Because, you know, to your point, what worked for me last year isn't working for me this year. And I had to find new things that helped me get out of my dark, I call it my Eeyore cloud, because Eeyore is so glummy, but still kind.
Right.
Because I'm still kind, but I'm glummy.
You still want to be friendly and happy, right?
Yeah, but I just walk around with my little dark cloud, right?
Exactly. But, and one of the things you just said, and this is like, I think that's one of my favorite things, is that you said you have to be forever curious, right? And I would say that applies to, you know, it can apply to your like mental health toolbox. It can apply to like entrepreneurship or just like life stuff. It's like, pay attention to the curiosity, right? Like if I'm talking about, you know, if somebody's talking about, you know, a tapping technique or a meditation technique or a breathing technique, and you're like, ooh, what's that? Right? Like that's something inside of you going like, oh, wait, let's find out about that. Let's like put that, you know, put that in your toolbox, like find out about it. Right. So I think more of us need to pay attention to curiosity for sure.
100%, which is why my favorite word is perspective, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're always open to new things, you're always shifting your perspective.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
That actually segues me into my next question, because that's so smooth that was.
So smooth. I don't even know what it is, but I'll pretend I knew.
Okay, good. What does perspective shifting mean to you?
I would say it's something that I use every single day, right? It's looking at something and feeling a certain way, and then recognizing that, you know, you might need to look at it with a different set of eyes or a different perspective, if you will. But sometimes what you think you see is a result of the stories that you've learned along the way and like the experiences that you've had. And sometimes you just need to like pause and say, okay, like, is that actually true? You know, I'm talking positive and negative. Like I think it's important for both, but you know, when it's a negative, it's like, okay, is that true? Like, did this person really do that thing? Or is that story, what I'm, you know, that article I'm reading, is it really about that? Or is it because of my current perspective with like how I've grown up and how I've learned and grown? And so it's like, okay, choosing, it's perspective shift is like choosing to look at things a different way. and to like, to try and see something from, you know, from another person's perspective is another, you know, another way. Because a lot of times, like, it's not all about us. And a lot of times our initial reaction isn't always true, if you will. Right. So again, it's like, okay, you know, I'm looking at this thing and, you know, it's making me feel nervous. And it's like, okay, I shouldn't say yes to do a podcast interview because of this. Right. And then it's like, actually that, you know, let's pause for a second. You know, that feeling that I have is, it's not fear. It's not like, no, don't do that thing. It's actually excitement, right? And it's actually, maybe I'm nervous. I'm not nervous with you, but yeah, I'm just saying, like, as an example, right? When you get asked to do a thing, it's like, okay, those feelings that you thought you had are not truly what you thought they were, if that makes sense. Did that, I just go like mumbo jumbo. It made sense in my head.
No, I mean, I got it. I hope that everyone else got it. If not, we will write some show notes that help you all.
Right? Yes.
Or that's what we can do.
Email. Exactly.
Just send Angela an email.
But I think it's like, at the end of the day, you know, perspective shift is like, it's being intentional and choosing to look at things from not just your own story and your own vision, but like choosing to look at it from other people's perspectives as well. And maybe, and like I said, sometimes it's like, it's internal. It's like, you know, you might look at something initially and think that it's a certain way, but you know, after some thought, you're like, well, let's shift this. What could it be? Maybe it's opportunity. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you, I liked your description. So thank you for that.
Yep.
This weekend, I sent you a message.
Yes. It's
actually Mother's Day. Spent my Mother's Day weekend bawling my eyes out.
You're welcome.
For no other reason than Miss Angela Harris here. So Angela last week, she shared within her community, because she's always sharing the things that she learns and she knows. And she shared this documentary that she got free tickets to, which was Unsinkable. And so I love the docus. Like, I love them.
Yes.
And especially anything that has to do with positive thinking or changing your life, you know, yada, yada, yada. I want to do it. I'm a personal development obsession human.
Yes.
And so you shared the link, you shared a little bit of insight about it. So I clicked it and I watched it not once, but I watched it twice. And I had like the most epic cry. Like, I'm a crier, but I'm a crier only when I watch videos. I don't like cry with people, which is weird, but I cry like Little Mermaid, bawl my eyes out. Shrek, bawl my eyes out. Puss in Boots, bawl my eyes out.
Oh,
you and me, not going to cry.
Hey, good to know. Good to know. Love it.
But what I really loved about the documentary is that it shifted my perspective on how far I had come. And even the judgments that I still had, some of the stuff I was still holding on to, and some of the limiting beliefs that I had that were halting me and going to that next level,
right,
in business and in leadership. And this is all work that I had thought I'd done, and I did do it, but I guess there was a little bit left over. So for anyone who's tuning in, you need to look up the Unsinkable documentary.
Unsinkable, yes.
And I'll make sure that the links is in the show notes, because it is like beautiful. It's some of the same characters that were in The Secret are in there, like Jack Canfield and Bob Proctor's in it.
Well, and I think it's like, you know, I shared that, I forget what day it was, like let's say Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. And a few people watched it initially and they were like, yeah, it's all right. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I was really, you know, I was really excited about it. I'm like, that's too bad. But I'm like, you know what, Ange, open mind, see, perspective shift, right? But I was like, open mind. I think like, even if you are a guru of like, you know, spiritual health and you're like all the things, you always can learn something from, you know, from someone else or from a thing, right? So I went into it, again, open mind. I wasn't comparing it to anything else. I think that was the other difference too. And I loved it. Like, I think, you know, it doesn't matter how much work we've done. Every single day we learn and we grow. And, you know, I think it's almost like we're peeling back the layers, right? Like, you're peeling back layers of things that, you know, come up that, like, during the documentary, I had a couple of, like, memories and things come up for me that I'd never had before. like never. And at one point when they were talking about forgiveness, because I think for me, the things that stood out, it was like grief and forgiveness, right? And a thing that I would never have thought was, you know, kind of eating at me or a limiting belief was, came up from the forgiveness exercise, right? And actually, there were two forgiveness exercises, but one of them, like, I almost didn't write it down because I was like, yeah, no, that's not really for me. I'm like, but you know, little voice inside was like, just write it down for later. Like, maybe it will be useful for someone that you coach, or maybe it'll be useful for something you create or whatever. And I started writing it down and then burst into tears.
That was exactly that what happened to me as well. Mine was forgiveness for myself. For all the ickiness that I had brought into my previous relationship with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had wrote the book and thought, hey, I'm completely healed and I'm good. And the truth of it is I had put so much of my energy into this book to help others. I forgot to kind of like close the lid and be like, it's okay, Terri-Ann, like you made your mistakes, forgive yourself and move on. Didn't do that. Started writing that through the exercise. And it was like the Oprah ugly cry. My kids walked in and they thought somebody died. They were like, hey, mom, my daughter left the house. Yeah. She was like, I'm going to go for a walk. Like, they were uncomfortable.
But I think it's good. Like, I mean, it's how we heal and grow, in my opinion, right? It's like I said earlier, it's like, you know, uncovering the feelings and like putting a label on it and then thinking about what you want to do with it. Right? Like you can choose to just like put the band-aid back on and be like, all right, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about that anymore. But you know, it's going to keep coming up until you address it. So
I agree. So what's next for you? What's next for you? What are you up to this year?
So what am I up to? Well, I had a really amazing plan, in February of this year. I will pause to say I'm being sarcastic there. I will pause to say that I am incredibly grateful that I got to hold Work of Heart. I think it was 3 weeks before everything started closing down. So I, you know, I am thankful to the universe and God and, you know, for being able to do that. I had intended to do a lot more speaking this year and to do a lot more sharing. So that's what I was saying, like my plan down the shitter. But at the same time, like, and now I've done a lot more talking to people online, right? Virtually. And I'm like connecting, I'm still trying to stay connected to people online. So one of the cool things that came about from all of this, initially I had been planning to launch a few more events in the spring. Again, not like in-person events, not happening. But it allowed me to, I finished my first online course called Heart Magic. So I finished that. I have a few people that had purchased it out of the gates from Work of Heart. And so I'm about to like ramp things up for that. Again, I kind of had the roller coaster moments where I'm like, what do you know what you're doing, Ange? Like what you don't you're, like, what is that? Right. But the more I, you know, the more I got through it and the more that I've like talked to people, I'm really excited about the online course. And I'm now focusing, doing more work on heart-led leadership and working with people, to really like get clear on their vision and on what they truly want to do. I mean, I've done a lot of things. I've done corporate consulting. I've done, you know, coached small business owners. And so I'm like, this is how I want to show up. And I want to help people. It doesn't have to be like, I don't want to niche it to be like, I want to help female entrepreneurs do this. But at the end of the day, what I do want to help people with is like starting with their heart and starting with their vision. And it's something that I've been doing for a long time. And
what does heart focused or heart based leadership mean?
I'm just making it up right now. So I'm just joking.
But that's okay. That's kind of where definitions, I mean, that's what I think where most definitions come from.
Well, it's funny, like over the years, you know, and actually when I spoke at your event, I was talking about inspired action, right? And I was like, okay, so, and I'll say inspired action according to Angela Harris, because there's so many different definitions of what that means, like in like, you know, law of attraction and in like, you know, the corporate world or whatever. And so, but to answer your question, like heart-based leadership for me, it's like everything starts with heart, right? And it's like, it's being authentic. It's being like intentional. It's being like caring, because a lot of the, you know, a lot of the great leaders that I've worked with over the years, that's what it started with. Like, it doesn't start with like the bottom line. Okay, what's our profit margin? How are we going to get to like this? It's like it's about people and it's about community, right? And essentially, like I'm saying, it starts with heart, but it's like, it starts with people first, and it starts with that vision, and it starts with like digging deep, which not everybody is okay with doing, right? They like, you know, I talk about this, like when I was working in the corporate world, it would be like, you know, they'd say to me like, so Ange, what's your gut on that? Right? Because they knew like many times I'd be right. Right. I'd be like, but I was trusting my intuition, and I'm like, oh God, don't say intuition in like a sales, like a, you know, this.
No, big don't. I've topic. Had these conversations with people. There's like 50% of the room that if you start talking about going with your gut, I think they want to vomit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't say, I think they're okay with going with your gut, 'cause that's still like I've got the finger out. I'm like, ooh. I think that's still like in, you know, in the sports world, in the corporate world, it's like, you know, I think it's okay to say you're going with your gut. But if you say you're going, you know, your heart says, or your intuition says, then it's like, whoa, too fluffy. Like,
oh, when woo woo.
Yes. So I think it's like finding the balance, and like, and you know what, as I went along, it's not like I was like, okay, I won't use those terms because I know that I'm not going to get my point across. Right. But it didn't offend me. I'm like, you know, it still doesn't offend me if somebody doesn't want to do things like from a heart-based approach, especially if I know that they're a good person and I know that they're a heart-based, like, you know, heart-based business, but we don't have to call them that. Like, yeah. if they don't want that label, that's okay. Because I know that they are, right. You learn to recognize it. But,
got you. So, yeah. Okay. So I want a little bit more information on Heart Magic, the actual course that you will be launching.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be something, because like you said, when you go full in on anything, you are successful. It is something that you have continuously proven, I think, in your career previous to entrepreneurship, and definitely in your entrepreneurial career. You have this ability to make massive impact, certainly to the leaders and entrepreneurs that I know locally, because I've had lots of conversations behind your back about you. So,
thank you.
But they're all good.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah. So tell me more about Heart Magic, because I remember seeing the post that you were having this thing coming up, but just
well, so it's like, again, you know, the universe always has like different plans, right? Always. So first I was like, all right, I'm just going to launch this. I'd thought about it for over a year. I'd been paying for like software to get this up and running. And I just totally got in my own way. It was like perfectionism. Well, what would this be about? What would this, you know, what would it look like? How do I do the thing? Like all the reasons, like, you know, all the things that I recognize that other people use as excuses, I did all the things. And then, I was working with a coach, and, he kind of like, he asked me, he's like, okay, so when are you going to launch this course? Like when? Right. And so I was like, okay, I think I can do this by this date. And so I launched it. I was like, the name had been like, you know, it had been kind of like percolating for me for a while, but I was like, no, it's too fluffy. No, it's too woo. Oh, it's this. And I was like, what does that even mean? Right. And I was like, oh, but I couldn't get it out of my head. And finally I was just like, okay, Heart Magic, just go with it. Like, you know what? And the other like rule of entrepreneurship, well, first of all, there's no rules, but like, you know, the biggest rule is like, if you can change it later, like you can have a thing, like you can have a logo and change it later. You can have a brand and change it. You can like, you can say you're going to do everything pink and then change it. Right. Like,
yeah.
I think that's what people get so hung up on. But anyway, so I was like launched it and then immediately got sick, like really sick. That was when, so back in January, I think it was like literally I launched on Friday night and then got sick right away. I had like my eardrum ruptured, like super, super sick. And so, yeah, so I was just like, okay, maybe this is a sign. maybe I'm not supposed to do this thing. Oh my God. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, are people going to buy this? Like, why would they want this? This is,
why do we do that? I got to stop you for a second. Like, why do we do that? Like, especially like someone like yourself, and I do it too. And I know so many other entrepreneurs who do this. Like, you've had years and years and years of success. You keep proving over and over that you can do it. And then you go to do something new. And for some odd freaking reason, you're like, can't do it. Somebody else is better. Oh, my competition is better. What will they think of me? Who the freak am I to do this thing?
It's fear. It's all fear.
Stupid.
It's all fear. And I've had people say to me like, well, but you're like, you've been doing this forever, or you've done that.
I know people don't get it.
Like, but I don't care. Like, because it's me, like, it's my own, like, it's my own limiting beliefs. It's my own shit. Right. But yeah, so I had all these things and I was like, anyway. And then, and then I just kind of kept going. I was like, no, I need to like birth this to the world, right? I'm like, I don't know, you know, maybe I'll change it later, maybe this. But like, one of the things that I get asked all the time is like, you know, how I started Work of Heart, how I did this, how I did that, like how I do all the things, right? And so what I try to do with Heart Magic is give people, you know, like almost a little like taster of each of the things that I use. And I'm like, and this is not science. Like, this is, you know, it's not, you know, but it's proven like for me, right? Like, it's proven to work for me. And I tried to put it down into like, you know, bite-sized pieces. I hate doing anything. I have a very short attention span. So I hate doing anything that's going to require me to sit for too long. Right. And just like, I'm not someone who's going to sit and watch, you know, an hour long video unless I know it's going to be amazing and change my life. Right. So what I did with Heart Magic is I created a really kick-ass workbook. And I have exercises in it that you do as you go along through the course. Short videos broken down into what I think are like the most important. There's like 6 modules in the course. So I kept it very short and sweet, but also I'm trying to get people to like tap into things that they've forgotten are important, right? And so for me, like the biggest one, you know, I talk about taking action. I talk about goal setting. I talk about mindset. And then I'd say the other one is creativity. And that is like, I don't profess to be a creativity expert, but creativity has been a really big part of my journey and part of like creating everything that I do for Work of Heart. And so I try to encourage people to tap into that a little bit more in the course. And I'm laughing right now because like I ended up creating a coloring sheet. And again, Angela Harris is not becoming an illustration, you know, expert, but I was like, I created a coloring sheet to include in the workbook, right? So I was creating something. It made me feel good. It like, it gave me, you know, kind of that time to like be creative and like, you know, release anything that I had, you know, going up inside my head. But then I encourage people in the course to do more creative things. And like the opportunities are literally endless with creativity, right?
So, 100%. So how can people connect with you? I know it's not launched yet. So how can people connect with you so that they are in the know when this does launch?
So it is actually available for purchase right now, but I'm about to do a big launch because I kind of, like I said, I definitely got in my own way. I was like, okay, so it's done. I'm just going to be right here. So So it is available now. So like basically anywhere, you know, I'm on all the things, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all the places. But I'd say like, you know, if people are feeling, you know, drawn to like what I'm saying or what I do, follow me on like Instagram or, you know, join the Facebook community. I have content in there, every single day and kind of behind the scenes as well. So
awesome. And that's all Work of Heart, correct?
Correct.
All right. Yeah. Lady, it has been an absolute pleasure. I always have so much fun hanging out with you. I can't wait till I get to go see people again and hug people and like high five them. It'll be
right.
Man, virtual high five to you right now.
Bing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, awesome. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, lady.
Thank you.
Yeah.